Hello. Thanks for listening online today. Before we begin singing, I'd like to let you know that the lyrics for each of the songs sung today can be found by clicking on the sermon's title on our church website homepage or by navigating to this week's specific sermon page and then scrolling down on the page beyond the scripture reference. Thanks again for joining us. Let's worship our God.
We rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God and power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Then what could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Thank you, Pastor Bradley, for leading us in worship through song. Hello, this is Pastor Mark speaking. Thanks for joining us online. Pastor Steve is on vacation, and a while ago, he asked me to preach on the message for today, April 26th, or that's the desired time. You may listen to it after and beforehand, but it was intended for April 26th. Today's title of the message is Jesus' Prayer for You. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open up to John 17. We will be reading from verse 20 through 26. Again, that is John 17, starting with verse 20 through 26. As I stated before, the title of the message is Jesus' Prayer for You. If you have ever been prayed for, it can be one of the most encouraging and uplifting instances in your life. For example, when I was in college at Oklahoma Wesleyan University, a number of people from First Wesleyan let me know that I was being prayed for. A number of you still are praying for me, and I am so deeply encouraged, and your prayers speak to me even now. Thank you for your prayers. I cherish them. Prayer can be also convicting. Maybe you can think of a time when someone was praying for you and the Lord brought to your knowledge maybe a sin or something you should be doing in your life because of what was said in the prayer. At that time, prayer may not seem encouraging, but instead pressing. Maybe now or in the past, prayer has been a time of confusion. We can feel a number of ways because of prayer. But prayer also can have effect on not what only is prayed, but who is praying for us. Maybe there is someone in your life that you look forward to when they pray at in any instance, or maybe when they pray for you. Maybe it's Pastor Steve, maybe it's Pastor Bradley, or maybe even myself. Maybe it's your dad, maybe it's, and you just love it when your dad prays. Or maybe it's your mom or your brother, your sister or aunt or uncle. Whoever that prays for you can have an impact on what is said and an impact on you specifically. What if I told you that Jesus himself prayed for you? Let that sink in for a second. Jesus prayed for you. Questions that may enter your mind is, how do I know Jesus prayed for me? What did Jesus pray for me? And why did he pray that for me? As we look to John 17, not only do we read that Jesus prayed for us, but we see why he prays it. Please turn to John 17, starting at verse 20 through 26. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one, in them, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know you have sent me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you have loved me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make known to them your name, that the love which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. It is interesting to see the flow of Jesus' prayer. He starts off in John 17, verses 1 through 5, praying for himself, praying that he would be glorified. In verses 6 through 19, Jesus shifts his focus to the 11 disciples. Last week, Pastor Steve preached on how Jesus prayed for protection, unity, and truth of the 11 disciples. Here in verse 20, we see the focus of who Jesus prayed for has changed again. Verse 20 says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. We see that Jesus prays for those who will believe in him because of the word of the apostles. It is roughly 2,000 years ago that Jesus prayed this prayer. Yet, throughout the last 2,000 years, the teachings that we pass down from the apostles, from Jesus himself, have been passed on to us even now. Their words about Jesus and his teachings have been spread verbally, they have been written down, and they have been stored and shared electronically. 2,000 years later, we are reading the book of John, written by the Apostle John. We have believed in Jesus because of the accounts written down by the apostles, and thus Jesus has prayed for us. Jesus prayed for you. This prayer is proof that we know Jesus prayed for us. The Apostle John was listening to this prayer. We see in verse 1 of chapter 17, it says this: when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to the heaven. The disciples are hearing this prayer as Jesus prays it. Scripture doesn't record Jesus leaving the scene and praying in private. He just lifts his eyes and begins to pray in front of them. If we believe in the Bible and the teachings that are handed down from Jesus and believe in him with your entire being, you are saved by grace through faith, and Jesus has prayed for you. Maybe you are in a place of depression, loneliness, or feeling down. I want you to know this. Jesus prayed for you and continues to intercede for you. Jesus was, and is, and will be thinking about you. He cares deeply about you. And this is why in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. As we continue, we see specifically what Jesus has prayed for, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Jesus prays for us to be one. This is point number one. Jesus prayed for us to be one. He prayed for us to be in unity. Jesus is not praying for us to be in uniformity, but unity. We are not to have all the same personalities, clothes, salaries, accents, and so forth. Jesus prays for us to be one, like the Father and him are one. He prays for us to be in the same spirit of the Trinity. When we think of the Trinity, we think of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. He is simple in the fact that he is one God, yet complex with three distinct persons. Stephen Siemens says it like this: God is simple, one with himself, therefore cannot be divided into parts. Yet God is three divine persons in one being. If we view the idea of unity in light of the triune God, then we see that we as Christians are under one God, yet distinct in who we are. The apostles understood this. We see this in 1 Corinthians 12:14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, there would be no sense of hearing. If the whole body was an ear, there would be no sense of smell. But as it is, God arranged members in the body, each one of them, as he chooses. If we are a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Again, in Galatians 3:28, Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Jesus prayed for us to be in unity, and not uniformity. We are to be one with the same mind and heart of Jesus and that of God the Father. Jesus prays three different times for us to be one as he is one and as the Father are one. In verse 21, he says, that they all may be one. In verse 22, that they may be one, even as we are one. And in verse 23, that they may become perfectly one. Jesus is saying that we need to be in unity. There is a critique against Christians. This critique is that Christians are not in unity. And maybe at a superficial glance, it may seem that way. But if we look at those who are practicing Christians, we see distinct beliefs. The first is Christ is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God, and he reconciled us to God through the cross as being the only way to God the Father. Second, we believe that Scripture is not only inerrant and infallible, but is the ultimate authority in our lives. Third, we believe that God is, our God is three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The only true God is the triune God. These truths unite the church. Charles Spurgeon says it this way, "To remain divided is sinful. Did not our Lord pray that they may be one, even as we are?" In John 17:22, a chorus of ecumenical voices keep harping the unity tune. What they are saying is, Christians of all doctrines, shades, and beliefs must come together in one visible organization, regardless. Unite, unite. Such teaching is false, reckless, and dangerous. Truth alone must determine our alignments. Truth comes before unity. Unity without truth is hazardous. Our Lord's prayer in John 17 must be read in its full context. Look at verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Only those sanctified through the word can be one in Christ. To teach otherwise is to betray the gospel. Our basis for unity must be found in truths that come from the word of God. Unity without truth is the basis for relativism. Think of this in the matter of chicken noodle soup. We know that there are three main ingredients in chicken noodle soup: chicken, noodles, and broth. These three ingredients make chicken noodle soup to be chicken noodle soup. If you take one away, it is no longer chicken noodle soup. It is chicken and noodles, or noodle soup, or chicken soup, but it is not chicken noodle soup if you take one away. If we take away the core beliefs, such as Jesus being the way of salvation, believing the only way of salvation, believing the authority of the Bible, and the Trinity, then Christianity is no longer Christianity. But some of us love to cook, and you may know some ingredients to add to the soup that make it spice it up. Those spices may bring out more of the chicken or the noodle or even bolden the flavor of the broth. But those spices do not change the soup. This is similar with denominations. Some tend to focus more on different doctrines that hold within right teaching of the church. Doctrines such as predestination, free will, entire sanctification, speaking in tongues, or wearing head coverings. All these doctrines listed and more have and need to have a case from Scripture. Yet they do not take away that Jesus died for our sins, and through him we become children of God. Disagreements doesn't always mean disunity. To finish with this soup analogy, what if I started to add marshmallows and peanut butter, tofu, erasure shavings, ice cream, Carolina Reaper peppers, dog food, and hair to the soup? The three main ingredients are now lost because your chicken is covered with hair. and now your broth tastes like spicy dog food. Yuck. Yes, this may all come together, but the taste is now disgusting. It is actually not unity, but a group of food that has come together with nothing in common. If we say to unite regardless of truth, then the chance of our core beliefs are at stake for being corrupted and forgotten. To push unity regardless of belief is a recipe for disaster. Jesus prays for us to be one in him and in the Father. Verse 23, I in them and you in me. Let us remember that our unity, or what we have in common, is not sports, food, our children, cars, music we like, movies we watch, or video games we play, but is in Christ. We can have those things in common, but they will not keep us together. An example is divorce happens to couples that have everything in common, but what actually holds marriages together is Christ being the priority and what is in common in the marriage. Marriages that are in Christ are bonded together strong. No external force causes divorce in those who prioritize Christ in their marriage. But for those whose marriages are built on commonalities of music, looks, money, sports, etc., risk the fate of being torn apart in disunity when what they have in common has changed. We see the first point is that Jesus prays for us to be one. The second point is Jesus prays that we are to be one, to be his witness. In verse 21, he prays that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. In verse 23, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them as you have loved me. Jesus calls us to be in unity, to be his witness. What Jesus is suggesting is that how we get along with other Christians is actually a testimony to the world that Jesus is the Son of God. If we are always complaining or arguing or lying over little matters and matters that maybe don't even matter, and we lie to each other and we're arguing with each other, our witness does not say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The question is, how do we get along as Christians? In Colossians 3, 12 through 14, the Apostle Paul says this, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Paul's list of things that help us stay in unity, but the thing that binds us in perfect harmony is the love of Jesus. This is how we will be witness in the world to the world that Jesus is the Son of God. There is a hymn that actually portrays how we are to love each other as Christians. It goes like this. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. The hymn is called, They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love. When we work in unity, hand in hand, with fellow Christians, then we will spread the news that God is in our land, that Jesus Christ is sent from God, and that Jesus is God's Son. Another aspect of point number two, which is Jesus
prays for us to be one, to be a witness, is that Jesus entrusts the repetition of his name on us. Jesus trusts us to represent his name so the world may believe in him. When I first realized this, I was kind of intimidated, to be honest. But after much thought, I became encouraged. Jesus, trust me. Jesus, trust you. Jesus, trust us as a church to show the world he is from God. I think Jesus established the church as being his testimony to the world is because humans are likely to believe the testimony of others rather than the original individual. For example, if I say I'm a great cook, some of you may believe it. Others of you are like, put your money where your mouth is, Pastor Mark, and show me. Others are like, I just can't believe Pastor Mark can cook. It doesn't make sense. But if people experience my cooking and they start to say, wow, I went to Pastor Mark and his cooking is so good. Or maybe you say it's so bad, but maybe it's so good. And if you ever get a chance to go there and eat, do it. More of you are going to be like, wow, yeah, I can believe he's a good cook. Maybe I should go over there and try it out. The testimony of others is often more powerful than the testimony of an individual. Never underestimate the testimony of the church. If Jesus trusts it, then so should we. We are able to be his witness to the world because the world does not know him. We see this in verse 25. Verse 25 says, O righteous Father, the world does not know you. I know you, and these know you have sent me. We are to be one, to be a witness to the world around us because they do not know God. Jesus said it himself. Thus far, we have seen that Jesus prays for us to be one in him. Second, that Jesus prays for us to be one, to be his witnesses. This third point is Jesus desires for us to be with him. Looking at verse 24, Jesus says, Father, I desire that they whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory you have given me because you have loved me before the foundations of the world. This may seem strange, but what Jesus is asking for is for us to be with him in his full glory in heaven. He desires it, scripture says. When I was in high school, I played basketball. I wasn't really anything special, but I also desired for my brother to come watch me play, to see me in action. Maybe you have had someone you've always desired to come see you at an event you were in. Maybe that was your dad, your mom, a friend, a sibling, and it meant something to you that they came. This is similar to what Jesus is saying here. He desires for us to be with him and to see him in his full glory, to see him in action, his full self. Jesus desires for you to be with him. In Revelation 7, 9 through 12, brings an idea of what this will be like in our response as well. It says, after this, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes, people, languages, standing before the throne of the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. What a powerful scene that portrays. There are some similarities with even Palm Sundays, with people with palm branches in their hair and God's people crying out, salvation belongs to our God. What a longing this creates to see Jesus in his full glory. as we conclude with this message, please bring your attention to verse 26. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make known that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus came to make known God the Father and to make known that they are one and or they're in unity. He wants us to have the same love. It only makes sense that Jesus prayed for us to do the same thing. The main idea of today's message is our unity in Jesus proclaims Jesus. Our unity in Jesus proclaims Jesus. By being in unity, we make known that Jesus is sent from God, and we continue to make it known. Just as Jesus continues to make the Father known to the disciples, and he continues to make himself known to us right now. In light of recent days, we have been more confined to our homes more than normal. This has presented an obstacle to continue the 2020 challenge. However, this has not stopped us from making Jesus' name known. We can still invite people to listen to sermons online as you are right now. We can call people we know and ask to pray for them and maybe even ask them if they know Jesus. I think if Jesus was coming back in a week, would you not want to let people know about him? Wouldn't you want to let people know that he is the only name that you can be saved by? I don't know if Jesus is coming back in the week, but I do know we need to continue to make his name known, that Jesus is the only name that can save, and anyone can have a relationship with him if they believe upon his name, turn from their ways to follow his ways. Jesus prays for our unity, to be in him, to proclaim him. And if we don't, who will? Romans 10, 14 through 17 says this, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the words of Christ. Let us proclaim him. Let our unity in Christ proclaim Christ. Know that this was Jesus's prayer for you, that our unity in Christ would proclaim Christ to the world, that he is the Son of God, he came from God to die for everyone to have a relationship with him. Let us end in prayer. Oh, righteous Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that in him and through him we can be in unity as a church. Father, help us to abide in Christ with our actions, attitudes, our thoughts, our words towards others, and specifically those who believe in Jesus. Forgive us when we fail to abide in your love with one another, but Father, help us represent your Son to the world. Let our love for each other be a testimony to the world around us that Jesus was sent from you, that Jesus died for all those in the world who choose to believe in you. Thanks, God, that you have made and make and continue to make your name known to us. We love you, and we pray this in your Son, whom you sent, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Pastor Bradley is going to lead us in another number called Send Us. Please feel free to sing along, and thanks for listening today. May God bless you and encourage you today.
Darkness, Savior, you show.
send us into the dark to be light. In the valley of dry bones, we will bring new life till the morning has conquered the night. We will go into the dark to be your light. Sent with your spirit, we'll go, moving with power and purpose. You send your church to the world like you taught us. You emptied yourself of all but love. Empty us now of all but love. Send us into the dark to be light. In the valley of dry bones, we will bring new life till the morning has conquered the night. We will go into the dark to be your light. We are a chosen people. We are a holy nation, here to declare your praise. You call us out of darkness into the light of Jesus. We will declare your praise. Send us into the dark to be light. In the valley of dry bones, we will bring new life till the morning has conquered the night. We will go dark to be your light. Send us into the dark to be light. In the valley of dry bones, we will bring new life till the morning has conquered the night. We will go into the dark to be your light. Dark to be your light.
Thanks for joining us. May God bless you.